Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Comic Chronicle. As always, I'm your host, society's metahuman slash mutant, Dakota Morgan, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, I sadly do not have a guest on here today, but it's been a while. I know it has. That's why I'm coming to you with this little bit of a special. It's been too long. I was on vacation. Some stuff happened. Yada yada yada. Life's basically a bitch. Let's just be honest on that one. So I'm back. Don't worry. We're back in action. Expect later on, after this episode goes up, later on in the next week or two, expect some good things from the Batman Arkham video game series. Someone is coming onto the show from there. I won't give you any hints at all, except for that one. But yeah, things are going well with that, so expect that very soon. Now, still in the world of DC today, I'm going to be talking to you guys about a big fan movie that almost happened that your host actually was director, screenwriter, and producer on, and worked with many other people on as well, but sadly the movie did not come to be. We'll talk about that coming up here very soon. So thank you guys. What we're looking at today is the movie, it's a fan movie in the DC world, obviously, of Metropolis's Finest, aka a fan movie in the world of DC Comics in the city of Metropolis, based around the Metropolis Police Department. I mean, because obviously you've seen this. We've had Gotham Central. We have the Gotham TV show. We know all about the cities, with this craziness that happens and the police department fighting against them. But we don't see Metropolis. It's the home city of Superman and many other heroes. And they're the ones with the alien invasions, the weird monsters, superpowered villains all over the place, and just really people with superpowers in general, just living everyday lives too. So that, and like all the big things happen in Metropolis, getting Gotham. And so you see Gotham's point of view, but you never see Metropolis's point of view. So that was the goal and the idea with this movie, was to put forward and for people to see a new side of things, in the lighter tone in the city of Metropolis, that everything's not as fun and charismatic and like all super, like with Superman and everything. So that was the point of the movie. So a quick little story on why it did not come to be before I get into the details. We had everything set up. You know what? Scratch that. Let's go into the good part. Let's not look kind of down at this. Let's look in the up. So looking right now, guys, I'm going to tell you the characters in the story. A little synopsis, though, first. When Metropolis' heroes are gone, the police are the only ones to fight against the villains, especially when they're all fighting an invasion or something like that. Who knows? Justice League, all the heroes. Big events happen all the damn time. But when a new gang arises, one that's named a Metagene, and if you know any DC Comics lore, you know where that's from. So the Metagene appears, and it's a group of villains and also people with powers that aren't villains, when they kind of are now, but, and they want to take over Metropolis for the Metahumans of the world. They want it to be their city, their gang, that's their goal, that is their utmost goal. And so the police have to work to fight against it, and because the heroes are off fighting stuff. So that was the plan. That is the synopsis of the movie. So characters, I'm going to start off with the good guys, the police officers and such, as you will, and then also some other appearances. And there is also in this DC comic here, wouldn't say heroes, but villains. They are in there, and then also some pretty famous DC comic characters appearing in the movie as well. And a little side note too, these characters were cast. These characters were cast and we had everything set up. So I'm going to go into the characters first for you guys. Andrew Clies is a patrolman, secret spy for, at least that's spoiler, so in case. A secret spy for LexCorp has a big dislike for heroes, believes ordinary humans are the real heroes. Secretly had a microbug attached to his brain by LexCorp to help ensure that he never changes sides. Yeah. Officer Cheyenne Voltaire is also a patrolman, partner with Andrew Kleins, good friends with Daily Planet reporter Lois Lane, and is her informant for all the good stories, and big hero worshiper and puts civilians and officers before herself always. Next up, we got Jason Luke Kane. He's a detective, tasked with investigating officers who may be corrupt in the department, been on the job many years, and has seen many crazy things in the city Metropolis, and has made, and has made him a hardened personality towards criminals. Transferred from Gotham City Police Department, and in his early days as an officer, That was what his job was work with the Gotham City Police Department. And yeah, it made him a very darker man. So, next up, we are looking at Sergeant Robert Birdsell, head of the SWAT team. He has a hatred for villains and criminals in the city and has little mercy towards them. He's often in the firefights no matter what. Brandon Birdsell, his brother, was killed by parasite when walking home from work one night, and it is his motivation every day in his job. Next up, we have Sergeant Justin Poloni. And this guy, he is in charge of officers in his department, and the one in charge that many below him look towards. Has high respect to his officers under his command, born and raised in Metropolis, wants himself and others to do better work than the heroes. And a little side note on this man as well. This was a character that your host was cast to play as. And also in this character, he secretly is actually a metahuman, has super speed powers, is in contact with Reverse Flash, aka Eobard Thawne, and is working with Metagene Gain and is their undercover informant for them. Internal IA has a lot of work to do in the Metropolis the Police Department, as we've seen. Next up, we got Captain Rita Lonbin. And cares most about her officers more than anyone above her in her command. Mortally depressed after years on the job and losing innocent lives, secretly in cop. In order to deal with the job, she takes. Yeah, she takes Joker pills. Yeah, she takes happy pills that have been confiscated from the Gotham City Police Department that a friend gives to her, and they make her more happy because it has Joker laughing gas kind of tendencies to it. Makes her more alive, one would say. Next up, we have Lois Lane that makes an appearance in this movie as well. Lois Lane comes in and, well, we'll talk about that in the story. Next up, for the villains, we have Livewire, Frostbite, a custom-made character for the movie, and she's a meta with ice powers, so kind of like a version of Killer Frost. And then next up, we have the Suicide Squad, which come in, and I'll tell you how soon. And in the squad, we have our lineup: Rick Flag, Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, Slipknot, Harley Quinn, Deathstroke, and of course, that bitchy Amanda Waller. So, you're wondering, how the hell does the Suicide Squad get involved in this? Now, I'm going to tell you. So, here up is the story. This is we'll talk about the story, and then we'll get in the how it was being made and what happened and what was the plans. And then we'll also talk about the downer. We'll save the downer to the end of how everything went to shit. And yeah, and how and why this movie was not premiered at Comic-Con like it was supposed to, and this movie did not get premiered on the website online, and how it kind of fell apart, but it was 99% of the way almost completed. So, look then, right now we are looking at the story. So, new metahuman gain, as you know, called Metagene attacks Metropolis. Those two of the members are the ones attacking the city right now and causing heavy destruction and heavy civilian lives. And those two are obviously Livewire and Frostbite. And due to this attack, the city police mobilized the SWAT team and everything else. And with the help of Star Labs, donations by LexCorp, which they take not willingly, and also Wayne Industries and Queen Consolidated, they are mobilized and ready to fight metahumans so they get better gear and reinforcements and more. So, as well, moving on, and later on in the story, Lois Lane and then finds reports, I guess you could say. She's doing her dangerous war zone reporting, as in the destruction of the city. She goes through and finds Livewire and Frostbite, and she sees them murdering civilians who got stuck in traffic and tried to run. And through the destruction and chaos, she witnesses and records it for later use against them in court, obviously, and also reporting for the Daily Planet. Then next up, we have after all these scenes and whatnot, this is obviously a summed up, very, very, very summed up version of big scenes. There's obviously smaller scenes, everything else. This is a summed up version for you guys at home, so you can listen to it and be like, well, what are the big, this is the major hitting points. So, next up we have the Metropolis Police Department confronts Metagene members, Livewire and Frostbite, and in the destruction of the city, at least part of the city. And attacks, but so does the Suicide Squad, because the Suicide Squad is there to show is for because Amanda Waller was sent them there to capture some of the metahumans there and bring them in for the squad, and also other reasons with Waller, who the hell knows what it is. So They're sent there, but they also confront the MPD and Medellin, and they get in a three-way fight. Obviously, MPD wins and arrests the Medellin members and also Suicide Squad. But sadly, on the way to transit, the squad was, let's just say, rescued, quote unquote, by Deathstroke, and so Waller gets her team back. Sadly, no metahumans, but she gets her team back. And then at the very end, and after all this chaos happens, and probably it's about an hour and a half or so, in the end, Officer Clive is revealed in the bar scene with all the officers, and that it is revealed that Officer Clive is working with LexCorp due to a phone call that he makes as well. And then we cut to a scene where we see Lois Lane again with also Officer Cheyenne Voltaire, and them kind of shooting the shit, as it's called, and kind of talking about the big stuff going on. Then you cut to the very, very end where you see Sergeant Polony, and you see him on the phone with someone very interesting. The scene we had a mixture of the scenes. We couldn't quite decide. In the beginning, it was him on the phone, and then in the end, it was him meeting up in a garage. Is Sergeant? Yeah, he has super speed powers, obviously, as I told. And he meets up with Eobard Thawne, aka Reverse Flash, and also a few other people as well. This is Medellin, and showing and basically reporting in for them and showing the audience in their his own special way that he's actually a Medellin gang member, and he betrayed his brothers and sisters of the department. So, how things went with this movie? That is the characters. Those are the. That's the synopsis. And how did things go with this movie? This movie was set and clean and ready to go. We had costumes. We had special effects artists. We had sets. We had military gear. We had also ex-CDC vehicles, which were armored trucks and everything like that and such. I had fire department on standby, police department on standby, all the good stuff that you get. And they weren't on standby as security or in case anything, but they were going to be in the movie as well. So we also had editing team. We had plans to release on YouTube, on our own private YouTube channel, a website, and also premiering it during the custom at Comic-Con, during the film made video, or like fan film videos and whatnot. The movie was going to be premiered at Comic-Con. Setup was made. But with all this, things happened. It took a year. The story was based off a comic I did as a fan book. I'm like, I'm bored, I'll write something. So wrote the story, gave it to some acting friends of mine, and then we got everyone together. Now my casting people, there was some people who helped cast and then helped also with the movie as well. They weren't, I guess they were partly producers. But they were below me and everything, and it was supposed to be our project because I let them in. And things happened. I don't want to throw them underneath the bus. I will not say any names. Things happened. The project was taken away from me, as I said. I don't even want to go down that route because that route's too bad. Let's just say things happened and the movie had to come to an end. Let's just put it that way. That's an easy way to say it. The movie had to come to an end. Sadly, there was nothing we could do about it. Things happen and projects change, I suppose. But that's the best that I'll say on that one. That's the downer part of it. So, yeah, Metropolis's Finest, the fan film that almost was. So, thank you guys for joining me on this episode here today. Now, if you like the story, let me know. Let me know on social media at DakotaMorgan3. That's my private one. And then also you'll be able to find us on the FanCorp network now, so you can go to at Real FanCorp on Twitter, Fan Film World of 97 on Instagram, and then the FanCorp network on the email as well. So that is where you can contact. And if you want to send any reviews on it, if you think it sucks, I mean, this is a summed up version, so screw yourself. So it's a very, very summed up version. The script took a very, very long time to write. And yeah, this was a big project that was in the making. A very big project. And it was going to put Phoenix in the limelight for fan films as well. It was going to open a lot of doors. And yeah. But sadly, some things cannot be. So thank you guys for joining me. Yeah, like I said, social media, follow us on there. Follow the network. Follow me if you choose. Send messages. Do whatever you like. I'm open to the suggestions if you want. And yeah, if you want to help though, if you want to be creative and whatnot too, I am asking anyone out there who wants to create artwork for the show, for Comic Chronicle or Film World, if you listen to that part, also a show on a network as well, or if you want to create artwork or anything like that for FanCorp, I'd be happy to take it. We are an open arms network and open arms shows, so we'll take it and promote it like crazy. And if you want to make promotional artwork and or anything else for us, we will take it and also give you the utmost credit. So thank you guys for joining me on this show, on this episode, I should say. And I know it's short. I know it's short. And it's not a guest, but if you have an interest in fan films or anything like that, let me know. And maybe sometime down the road this movie will come to be. Who the hell knows? But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me on another episode of Comic Chronicle, and join me next time as we continue to talk to people all over from comic book world and nerd world, as you've seen. And also subscribe to iTunes now, and if you want to check out more episodes for older episodes as well for Comic Chronicle, check out comicchronicle.podbean.com. So thank you guys for joining me, and stay classy, Metropolis.